Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 99.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help as many interested people around the world learn and improve at jazz piano by providing structured and organized jazz piano education. I'm your host, as always, Brendan Lowe, and thank you so much for joining me. This is going to be episode number 99. In today's episode, I'm going to be going over the first portion of Herbie Hancock's solo in Seven Steps to Heaven. Very, very beautiful solo, and it got a lot of nice things happening, and it's at a very fast tempo, so you can kind of learn from what Herbie's doing. So I believe in the last episode, I talked about kind of continuing on with Bill's solo, but I did want to kind of spice things up and give a different perspective, different approach, obviously, from Herbie, rather than continuing with Bill, so we can get some different, get some contrast in there, right? So, a lot of stuff going on at Jazz Piano School these days. We have a new product that's going to be released by the end of the year called The Lab, and hopefully in the next month or so. And The Lab is going to be, again, like I've talked about this, a lot of different kind of mini courses all put together, because this day and age, you know, people are trying to really digest information quickly, you know, with iPhone and technology, right? Everyone, we all want like quick information, specific, right? So if you just want to learn something on voicings or like how to read charts or improving your improv, we're going to have all these upgrade formulas available in The Lab that you can go and take these mini courses on. And or you can buy them separately, either or, and go through all of those and really improve and harness a specific step-by-step formula to improve on these certain areas. So it's going to be fantastic. I'm really excited about this. Right now, we're going to probably open it up with about 21 upgrade formulas available. So there's a lot, and I've written 31 outlines. So it's just going to keep expanding, right? I want to make this huge, just a huge lab full of all these specific areas that you can work on. And then the other great thing about The Lab is that we're going to add different features, because we have a new redesign coming soon by the end of the year as well on the website. So we're going to add a lot of different features. Like, there's going to be a monthly gig analysis that we're going to add in. So some of our trained staff are going to film their performances and analyze their, and it's going to be kind of like an open lab analysis area. There's going to be a lot of, for the new website, there's going to be a lot of documentation and things like quizzes, upload area for tracks, assessment, just like a whole slew of different, you know, features and things like that to help you, right? A lot of different tracks, backup tracks and stuff like that. So I really want this to be just like a huge hub, right? The hub for learning jazz piano. I mean, you can get like all the information. It's going to be awesome. Obviously, our main curriculum, you can find at jazzpianoschool.com is available right now again, but like some people love that, right? But some people just don't have enough time to move through it. I mean, everything you need is in the curriculum, but I think we're going to start to kind of use that more as like an add-on, right? Add-on product. If you want the full curriculum to Jazz Piano School, or you want the beginner section or intermediate or advanced, you can kind of add that on to The Lab as well. So just so many changes going on. I'm super busy, but I love it. I love helping Jazz Piano School grow and, just really be the main hub for jazz piano education. So with that being said, let's dive right into this episode. So Herbie has an amazing solo on Seven Steps to Heaven, and there's a lot of interesting stuff going on. So I'm just going to take this piece by piece. And again, if you want the practice materials to this, go to jazzpianoschool.com/podcast99, and you can get the transcription of the portion that I am analyzing. All right. So Herbie starts off with a nice little motif, and basically he starts on B3 with just these two little eighth note motifs. He goes like this. Ooh, that's hot. Sorry about that. So that's basically how he enters into his solo. Just a really nice two eighth note motif moving down diatonically. Now what he does here is kind of a funny thing, because it's almost like as if he's like joking around, kind of making fun of swing, because the way he's doing this is he starts on beat three, and then basically he's going into beat one and beat three. So he's going three and four and one and two and three and four and one. And so it sounds like he's almost not swinging. it's more of like kind of a joke in a way. Like, I'm not sure if he meant to do it like that, but he's just kind of like playing around a little bit, right? So he has one, two, you know, it's like more of a marchy feel. It's not really like jazz the way he phrases that, right? It sounds kind of funky. So from the beginning of that measure, it's just a very odd kind of rhythmic figure, right? So he kind of starts out with this thing. For the changes, right? He leaves into the third for the minor flat five. He moves up to the flat nine. Now notice he lands on the flat nine for the A7, right? Not landing on a chord tone, landing on the flat nine. Perfectly doable, sounds great. Lands on the sharp 11 of the G7, which is the next chord, but it happens to be over the D minor 7. So essentially, Herbie's probably just thinking G7, or he's just surrounding, you know, creating an approach note to the D for the D minor 7, right? So, okay, so that's that line, just kind of a funny little thing. Then he starts to kind of gear up, right? Now, this is a fast tempo, right? This is, you know, 220, 230, 250, so he's playing fast. Now, he starts the second line out, okay, at measure 5, right, with his G minor 7, and he starts to line with chord notes, which is funny. He has a little eighth note lead in, a half step below approach, so, but then he's playing all chord notes. So he has 1 and 2 and 3, 4, 1 and 2, or excuse me, I was counting wrong. 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1. So he just moves up the, basically the diatonic mode, right? You know, however you want to think about it, Mixolydian or Dorian, or just your F major scale, right? So he just moves right up from the G minor. You know, he approaches the root and then moves right up in all quarter notes, okay? When he finally lands on the F major 7, he has a nice little line to start getting him into the swing of things. Sometimes, you know, at a fast tempo, he's kind of, you know, warming up. You can't just like dive right in. I mean, you can, but it seems like he's kind of creating a little warm up for himself to get feeling the rhythm section, you know, and then kind of like he's gearing himself up for his next like long string of eighth note lines, which you're going to hear in a second. So here he has. Now this next note, it's kind of arguable. It sounds like a B natural, could be a B flat because he's doing a standard approach to the A natural, which is the third of F major 7. So he's either going, or he's going, so either B or B natural, I mean both really work here. The nice thing to realize here is that he's using the flat 13 to approach the 5. So he's going flat 13, 5. That's a really nice approach there. Anytime you want to approach the 5, you know, over a major 7, or if you just keep going down, you know, that little approach there is really, really nice. But anyway, he continues on. I'll play the B natural this time. So he has an approach to the 3rd and then continues on downward, right? So basically the 3rd and then from here. So he's just going 9, 1, 7. So basically he's kind of just fiddling around the 1 and then lands on the 1. So it's more of an approach on either side, right? And then continues and outlines the major 7, right? So outlining the major 7 all the way up to the 9 and then 1, 5, right? So again, that full line here. Right, you see that? Very nice. So again, the flat 13, approach to the 3rd, outline or approach notes to the 1, outlining the major 7 up to the 9, 1, 5. Cool little line there, okay? He leaves a bar of space. Then he has this huge line that just all strings together. He has all eighth notes. Like, again, he's kind of warming himself up. He's getting in the mood. Now he's just about to start flying, right? So he starts on beat 2. That's a nice thing to realize. Again, Bill did that a lot, starting on beat 2, not always starting your lines on beat 1. So for the D minor 7, let's talk about that first little string of notes here. So he's starting on the 5 here, and he's just going 5, 3, 2, 1. Okay. Now this is, you know, fits over your hand very, very nicely. Okay. And, again, very close to a pentatonic scale. He's probably thinking maybe D minor pentatonic starting on the 5, going 3, 2, 1, right? goes to the flat 13. So basically, he's probably leading into the G7. So he starts playing the harmonies for G7 a beat before. A lot of people do this. You'll see this a lot. Benny Green does this a lot. You start playing over the next chord, basically in the measure that you're on. So it kind of flows naturally into that chord, which is a really nice thing to do. So 1, 2, and 3, and 4. So he goes right to the flat 13 already, okay? Hits the B natural, right, on the and of 4. Hits the sharp 9 on beat 1. You see that? So on the beat 1 of the G7, he hits this sharp 9. And he continues down basically the altered scale. Creates a little pivot here. Right? So he goes 1, pivot. Okay? So using that kind of pivot note there, continues up to the 9. Now again, here he kind of adds the sharp 9 again, even though he pivots, adds the natural 9. So, you know, at this point, he could be thinking sharp 9 here, or he could be, again, thinking about the next chord, which is a G minor. So he's already playing G minor before the chord happens, right? So he hit his sharp 9 on the G7. It seems like he's thinking more G minor at this point, trying to transition into the next chord. So again, here, that's all just G minor. He adds the 11 in there. 11 lands on the downbeat of 5, right, on the G minor 7. Goes up to the 9 again. Just simply comes down here. Right, so he has 9, 1, 7, 5, 11. And again, here, that's his bebop. That's more of a, more or less a bebop approach. That's a very, very common movement, right? 1, passing tone to the flat 7, going back up to the 9, and then going to the 13 and 5. You're going to hear that all the time in jazz movements, right? So from the beginning of the line, it sounds like this. Okay. Now here, he continues after that with... So he has... So he just surrounds the flat 7 again. He's staying in the same spot. Then finally jumps down here to the 9. And then we transition into the F major 7. So on the F major 7, he actually hits an F sharp. So listen to this. Right? So he's going F sharp, A, G sharp, F sharp, E, E flat, D flat, C, and then G. Now, essentially, at this point, he's basically playing he's soloing over the tritone of C7, right, which is G flat 7. Or you can think about this basically as, you know, kind of C7 half whole scale, right? Half step, whole step. Although it's not quite, it could be in a way, but because he has this, right, half whole, half whole, half whole, right? He has the G sharp in here. I mean, it could be that. It's not really G flat 7 too. I mean, it could be G flat 7 because he's going to the sharp 9 here on the G flat 7 and then going natural 9, right? So again, our G flat mixolydian, right? So basically, you could think about it like that. Essentially, again, it's either going to be some sort of altered C7 that he's playing, right? Like that, or G flat 7. So again, from the C7, the measure before. So he finally resolves down to the C into the G from that kind of C altered-ish or G flat 7-ish, all right? So the beginning, here's the whole string of notes that he plays from the D minor 7, okay, from measure 11. Very nice line, right? Here it is again. Cool. Really, really cool. I mean, he's got so many different types of unique movements happening in there. And it's, I mean, you can learn so much from that. Now, the next string of chords, we go to the C major 7. So he, again, he kind of plays with quarter notes and kind of just a line moving up here. He starts on beat 3. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, and 3 and 1, right? So that's a cool little line. He's got a little tied eighth note in there on the end of two, right? So one, two, and three, and four, and one. I really like that. Just a little pause in there. That's really cool, right? Now, as far as the notes go, seven, one, just going up to the one of the D minor. I mean, he's just going up basically the C major scale here. At the end, he leaves a little gap here, right? So he goes hits and three and one, right? Excuse me, and four and one, right? And so again, G, one, two, three, five. So again, maybe probably thinking pentatonic, G pentatonic here, one, two, three, five, right? And landing on the nine for the C major. Now, again, he puts together another kind of string of eighth notes because he's getting into it here. So after the landing on the nine, he goes like this, right? So one and two. Now, again, he's doing this over and over and over again. He's playing harmonies that are leading into the next measure. So instead of continuing with C major here, right, he's playing F minor 7. So he's going 1, 2, and 3, and 4, and 1. So here, right, so 9, 11, right, these are basically our approach notes to the minor third of the F minor 7, but he's doing them over the C major 7, right? So half step below, chord scale above, right? The third, half step below, third, five. And again, outlining the, and as you can see, he has a lot of lines outlining the chord going up to the nine, right? He has three, five, seven, nine. It's very common. He's doing that all the time. He does it over the, where did he do it before? Let me see. I think in the F major seven. Right? So that's a nice little, he's using this same movement over major chords and minor chords, right? That's at the beginning. Now here he goes, right? Same exact thing, but just switching up the, obviously for the minor, he's using a minor third, and for the major, he's using the major third, right? Just over the different chords. So one and two. He continues on with this line. That's a nice little line there over the B flat 7. So he goes up to the 9, back down to the flat 7, goes to the flat 9, right? Over the B flat 7 chord, 1, flat 7, and then finally resolves to the third of the E flat major 7. So for his 2-5, he has this. Very, very nice line over a 2-5 that you can kind of use that movement there. Just fits in your hand really, really nicely. 5, 7, 9, right? 1, lands on the 4 of the B flat 7, flat 9, 1, and then resolving down to the third of your 1 chord, right? So from the C major, 1 and 2. Okay, he continues over the E flat major. Now here, okay, this is going to be interesting, right? Our chords are E flat major, 4 beats, A flat minor, going to D flat 7, right? And then G flat major. So we have a 2-5 to G flat with an E flat major chord. Now here's what he plays. Right? So let me play that again here. So what is happening here? So we have an outline to the E flat major. But he uses an approach to an E natural over the E flat major 7, right? Then he approaches down from E, C, A, F. Now, all of those notes are nowhere close to being in the key of E flat or basically the 2-5 going to G flat. So what exactly is he doing? I spent a little time with this because I was like, what is he doing here, right? And he continues down. So we have to look at these notes, this pattern that he's playing essentially here. Now, the best possible, my best possible reasoning and analysis for this section is that Herbie is playing the tritone sus of the 2-5. So the 2-5 is A flat going to D flat going to G flat major 7, right? So the tritone of D flat 7, and again, a lot of the times, especially at this tempo, you can't think 2-5-1. So a lot of the players would just think 5-1. That's the essential resolution, especially at these tempos. So instead of thinking 2 beats of A flat minor, 2 beats of D flat 7, you just think 4 beats of D flat 7, because it's much easier to improvise over 4 beats of just one chord rather than having to switch chords. So Herbie might have been thinking 4 beats of G flat 7. They're just kind of trained or programmed to think like that. A lot of the old players would think like that, especially coming out of bebop. Charlie Parker, Dizzy would just be thinking 5-1, 5-1, not 2-5-1 essentially, right? So that's where the bebop scales would come from, right? Over a 2-5-1, they just think C7, going to F major 7. Right, so C7 bebop scale. Sorry. And then they resolve it to the 1 chord. So Herbie was probably thinking D flat, and then he was probably thinking tritone of D flat, which is G7. And since he was a more modern player, he was using a lot of sus sounds, right, and sus things. So that's where we start to see this, right? So as he resolves, he's resolving. Now this creates a sus chord over our tritone G, right? So I'm fairly confident that he's thinking G sus here, leading into and finally resolving. He's catching a little of the D flat chord, the tritone, right at the end. So he goes, right? He resolves finally to the root, to the 7, and then just using a half step below approach to the 3rd of the G flat major, okay? Now that makes more sense to, so much more sense, like when you, if you just looked at it and been like, what the heck, what is he playing there, right? So he has the E flat major, right? And then he kind of lands on the 3rd with an anticipation, which is cool. It's really nice. So instead of landing right on 1, he kind of lands on the chord tone on the and of 4. So here we go from the E flat again. So again, this chord should be A flat. I'm sorry, I was playing A natural there. So, and again, landing on the and of 4, which gives that anticipation. Right? So 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and. That's a really cool thing to do. End your lines on the and of 4. Oops, sorry, I screwed up. Wow, it's really hard to hit those. I mean, that sounds out. That is an out sound right there. Using, you know, your G sus, especially if the bass player is playing A flat, D flat to G flat, right? But again, he's thinking G sus leading into that G flat. Okay, so that is that. He plays one single F after on the G flat major chord, and then he plays an F, and then starts his next line, which again is just a long, long string of a long, let me see how many measures this is. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Essentially 9 measures of all and a huge eighth note line. This is where we're going to wrap up. So he starts on the and of 1, which is cool. So he has 1 and 2 and 3 and. Okay. This is a really cool line for a lot of different reasons, because again, he starts on the and of 1 and 1 and 2 and 4 and 1. Sorry, 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 1. So he essentially lands on the 9 of the F major 7, right? Adds that same approach again to the flat, to the 5, using the flat 13, right? So he likes that over major 7 chords. That's a really cool approach, right? The sharp 5 approach or flat 13, however you want to think about it. So this line, I really like this. So he's approaching the 3rd of the C7, but essentially it's more or less leading into the F major 7. So again, he just uses he outlines the G, right? Your G rootless voicing here, just 3, 5, 7, 9. Obviously, we see that happening a lot in this. Probably 3 or 4 times he's done it already now. So again, not landing on a chord tone, landing on the 9. And that kind of displaces everything, which makes stuff sound really good, actually. So 1 and 2 and 3, right? 1 and 2 and 3, right? Then finally he resolves to the A on beat 4. So 9-1, flat 13-5. Resolving to the 3rd on beat 4. Now from here, going into the minor 2-5. And you'll see he has a lot of lines starting on beat four that are moving up. So instead of starting his lines moving up on beat one, they start on the and or like beat four, right? So here he starts four and one and. Then again, he starts here two and three and four. So this kind of displacement of moving, like he could go one and two and three and four and one. That's very patternistic, right? But if you kind of displace it and start it on beat four, it's a really cool sound. So one and two and, right? Four and one and two and three and four and one. I'll play that again. Four and one and two and three and four and one. So it displaces the movement, the up movement of that pattern. As far as note selection goes, he's going right when he resolves to the third of the F major 7. Just still moving up an F major 7 chord. So he's actually not thinking E flat minor yet. He just finishes line off. So again, he just moves up an F major 7. Again, look at this, guys. 3, 5, 7, 9. I mean, it's all over the place, this little 3, 5, 7, 9, right? Or the, right? Always going 3, 5, 7, 9, 3, 5, 7, 9 and arpeggiating, right? That's a huge takeaway from this. So moving up. Now here, again, he didn't even play any E flat minor 7, flat 5. He finished his F major 7 line into the E minor 7 flat 5 measure, right? And that's something to be said. Again, he probably wasn't even thinking 2-5. He was just thinking, okay, I finished my F major 7. Now I'm going to play A7, which leads into the D minor 7. Remember, the 2 is not as important. That's why a lot of the guys didn't play the 2. They just, as long as you get your 5-1 resolution in, that's the strong resolution. That's what's going to really outline the chord. So Herbie was probably just going, he finishes F major 7, then starts to think, okay, A7 into D minor 7. So what he does here, half step below, sharp 9, he's thinking altered. He's thinking A7 altered. So sharp 9, 3, flat 13, 1, sharp 9, and then flat 9, and then resolves into the 5 of the D minor 7. Okay, you hear that? Right, really cool. So finishes his... That's a really nice line. So from the F major 7. From the G minor 7 going to this, from the 2-5 before going to the F major 7. Really, really cool. Now here, again, probably thinking pentatonic, 5-3-2-1. You hear that a lot, right? So that's another thing he does a lot. 5-3-2-1. Okay, then he goes. Now, what is he thinking here? Probably, again, starting to think G7 already. So he plays one pentatonic D minor, then starts thinking G7 on beat 3 already. So he's thinking 1. So essentially, he's surrounding the 7 and then thinking this basically G7 sharp 11. He's basically thinking in his upper structure, right? Right, thinking this kind of arpeggiated outline here. So he's thinking, and then again, using the approach. He loves this approach. 1-7. I mean, however you start it, wherever, you can start that on any chord tone. Right? He used it over the F. Right? He also used this approach over the F major 7. And then he uses it here for the G7 over the 7. Right? So he loves that, right? Now, again, so what he's doing here is thinking G, goes up to the sharp 11, and then continues here. Now here, let's look at what he's doing. So here, right, so after he moves up to the sharp 11, this is super cool, guys. So essentially, he's thinking probably 2 major triad, but essentially he ends on the sharp 11, and then just does this. Now, what is this? This is, again, just the outline of your flat 6 upper structure triad. So he's outlining an E flat triad chord. This is, gives him an extension to the flat 13, right? It's going to give him 1 and sharp 9. And so he's just outlining that. Now, again, the other rhythmic displacement is that he starts his arpeggio on beat 2. So he finishes his sharp 11 and then starts on beat 2, which is really cool. So for the measure before, we have 3 and 4 and 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and, right? Super, super cool. Three and four and one and two and three and four and. So again, you see that little motion by finishing your line on the and of one and then starting a new line on beat two. So essentially he's playing over the bar line. Like he finishes his line on, you know, on the, like, you know, on the and of one, or he finishes line on the and four. He starts on the and of one or starts on beat two. So his lines aren't in sync with one and three. They're in sync with like two and one, you know, moving over the bar line. It's a really cool concept to kind of get into your playing, right? So here's the line from the D minor seven. Right, and just moves up to the G here. Now, finally, what he does is hits the G at the very top, right? So that's just his E-flat triad outline. And then just comes down, outlining a G minor 7. Just has a little walk down from the 3, 2, 1. Sorry. I think that's off the camera. Yes, it is. Sorry about that. So again. Okay, and then you have their C7. Now he starts on beat 3 again. This is a really cool line that he finishes off with too. So 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 1, and 2, and 3, and 1, excuse me, 4, and, man, it's hard to count and play and talk at the same time. So again, here's the line. Now, the cool thing about this is he has a lot of small movements in there. So let's check this out, right? So essentially, so again, he's outlining the five of the C7. So 13, sharp 11, five, or essentially approach notes, right? Chord scale above, half step below, five. So he lands on the five, hits the four, right? I want you to notice something because everyone's like, oh, the avoid note, the four. He lands on the four on beat one. All right, so in all these books, and people will say not to land on the four on beat one because it's going to clash with, right? You're clashing with the third, but Herbie does it, so why not? You know, go for it. So it's a delayed resolution to the five of the F major seven, essentially, right? So approach to the five of the C7. So he has two target notes, basically, the G and then the C. So here's our approach to the G. Here's his new approach to the C, the five, right? So you landed on that approach, right? There's my new approach. Then he approaches the third of the F major seven. Finally, uses an approach to land on beat one, right? That's our common approach, chord scale above to the third, chord scale below, half step above, below, excuse me, and then the third there. Really cool line. You can take that line and use it, you know, all over the place. So again, that's a fantastic you know, way to start off looking at Herbie's solo in Seven Steps to Heaven. Again, some of the takeaways that he does here, just to wrap things up, you know, looking at, remember, he's a lot of times he's starting his improv over the chord before the chord is even happening. Remember, so in a 2-5-1, right, he starts playing F minor over the F major 7 two beats before it even happens. So you can start soloing over your next harmony in the measure before, so it creates a constant flow, right? You're creating a smooth transition into the next line, okay? That's one of the things he does. He also ends his line further, right? So again, over the F major 7 and in the some of the final bars there in his very last line, he moves his F major 7 outline into over the E minor 7 flat 5. He ends, right? He uses beat 1 to end his F major 7, even though the chord has changed. Okay, so he's ending lines later, and he's starting lines earlier over harmonies. That's a really cool thing to take away. Now, again, remember, he's starting on beat 2. He's ending on the and of 1, right? Starting new lines on beat 2 and kind of ending on beat 4, sometimes starting new lines on beat 4. So his lines aren't really synced in with beat 1 and 3. He's displacing his lines over the bar line, which is really, really cool. Some of the cool approaches he liked to use, remember, he liked to use the pentatonic. He used that a lot. He used flat 13 to the 5 over his F major 7 a lot. So many times he's outlining, he's using this, right? So whatever kind of approach you, right? He's using this approach to get to a note and then outlining the 3-5-7-9, right? Right? That kind of movement, he's using that so many times, okay, all throughout the harmonies. What else? So again, he had this really cool tritone, right? That really cool tritone line. And then ending on the and of four, using that sus tritone improv over that 2-5. That was really cool. And I think that was most of his takeaways. He had these long eighth note lines, again, kind of strung together. That just takes practice, guys. You know, stringing all these eighth notes and connections together. Work at it slowly through changes and practice you making those connections in certain ways. And remember, like Herbie's doing, you don't have to make the connections always on beat one or always on beat three, right? You can move your connection no matter, even if you finish your line into the next measure, right? And your changes aren't matching up. Like if you finish your F major seven over an E minor seven, then just think 5-1, right? You don't always have to think 2-5-1. You can think just 5-1 to make that next transition, all right? So hopefully that was helpful, guys. I absolutely love that solo from Herbie. It's a really, really awesome one. He's using a lot of, he's not getting too crazy like a little bit later, you know, later Herbie, which, you know, isn't crazy. It's just more developed. He's kind of working into his style still and working into new things, new approaches, and new expression, right, of himself. So, you know, later on, you know, he gets a little bit deeper into some different concepts and things like that. So we're still able to kind of work this out and kind of work through it and pull a lot of stuff from this solo in terms of kind of basic, almost bebop approaches, but not really. I mean, he's using some of that stuff, but again, it's still kind of, he's morphing into a more modern Herbie-ish from his beginnings, right? So, Really cool solo there. Again, this is episode 99. We're going to be going into episode 100. I'm really excited for that. And again, if you want the transcription for this, go to jazzpianoschool.com/podcast99, and you can get the transcription of the Herbie analysis that I just did. All right, I'll see you in the next episode, and happy practicing.